Paul Golder here for Phoenix FM, backstage at the Latitude Festival, and I'm delighted to be joined by Mark Gardner from Riot. Hello, Mark.
Hi.
You're looking forward to your sets in about 2 hours' time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah, and we're kind of in the groove now a bit with it, because this is kind of maybe like a week of shows we've been doing now, and it's good because it's sort of starts to become a little bit more second nature. You don't have to think quite as hard, because too much thinking always gets in the way.
Now, Mark, thanks very much for chatting with us today. I, you know, with a band like Riot, I just don't know where. I've got 10 minutes. I don't really know where to start. I mean, we've got nearly 30 years of history. Let's talk about how you got back together again. I mean, you disbanded around 1996, but it wasn't a hard split, was it?
No, I mean, I think it was inevitable. I mean, in the same way with the label we were on, Creation, it was what kind of made it good was also going to make it crash at some point. I mean, we'd been going pretty full on, playing wise, and just hadn't really stopped. And I think, you know, also I'd been at school with Andy, so like our sort of personal history went back far greater than the band itself. So I think you just hit a point and we just crashed, you know. I mean, we'd sort of tried to keep it going as best we could in all that time. There's never a lesson, and you know, life doesn't show you how to do that, you know. And I think we did great. We did a lot of great music in that period, and then I think once it kind of crashed and we all kind of fell out, you know, the car, so to speak, and then kind of within a matter of months it was just good to sort of diffuse everything and then kind of feel good about, you know, talking again. It was all good. Like I say, it's just kind of quite a natural thing in a way. And we've always kept in good close contact. You know, the Ride business or the music just grew in our absence, which is great. That's all, you know, that's all you hope that any artist sort of artistic endeavor you do will actually do. And it did that. And I think as time wore on, I realized that I would love to do this again. I think we will kind of hit that place, and here we are.
Yeah. I mean, in the meantime, of course, you're talking about getting together with the other guys, and you were in Animal House with Loz. And I wasn't actually going to ask anything about Animal House, but now you've said that, because I love that band.
Yeah, it was an interesting, because it sort of started off being a bit of a sort of studio project thing with myself and Sam Williams, who'd obviously produced Supergrass at the time. And it was really a lot of fun, and just sort of mucking around with the idea of songs and loops and beats and things like that. And then it kind of turned into a band. And I don't think it was ever really made to kind of tour and be, you know, it was made to make a great record, which I think we did. Just because of the way that, you know, it kind of was, I didn't ever really see it was going to be like a big sort of long-term project. But, you know, that, like, yeah, many other projects after that, I've sort of collaborated and with lots of different artists and produced and mixed a lot of different bands as well. And for me, it's been good. I'm just really happy that I'm, you know, that it's kept me in music, and it really keeps you interested. But it also makes you then really appreciate when you come back with the way it all started out, which was Ride. I mean, that's really what set me off. And you know, that's what I've ever really hoped, is that to keep doing music in some form or other, you know. And it's, I've achieved that, and I'm really happy with that.
Now, Ride are back together again, and it's been about nearly 3 years since the announcement. So where and when were you, or when you decided or you realised that this is actually going to happen, this second coming?
I think it was maybe 4 years ago, and we were always starting to get some really good offers in. I mean, also because we all kind of slowly got hooked up with social media and stuff, so people were able to kind of keep going, we want Ride to play again. So I think, you know, we were aware of the noise that was, you know, and the public that really wanted it to happen as well as us, I guess. And I think at a certain point we just felt that we would do it, and we kind of limited the time, because at that time Andy was still in BDI as well. So and then, like anything to do with Ride, every time we sort of make that, say let's go for this again, it's like the stars align and the situation's changed, i.e. that BDI then split as well. And and it just suddenly, we were able to then do a lot more shows, and as soon as we started playing shows, then lots, I think in this world everybody looks and sees what you do straight away. So then we got offers all over the place, and it quickly turned into a sort of world tour, and we got very busy very quickly.
Now, I didn't see Ride first time rounds because I was a poor student, didn't have any money, and so my first Ride gig was at the Roundhouse, which was in May 2015.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That was I remember being in the crowd, and obviously a lot of the people there had seen you 20 years ago, and there was an electric atmosphere. I remember before you came on, there was a massive excitement, and people just couldn't believe that they were there, really. I mean, was that something that you felt as a band too?
You do feel it. Yeah, you completely feel it, and you feed off that, and that's kind of why a lot of the ride shows I've been feeling really electric and sort of triumphant, because you totally feel that. And that's the magic, that's all the chemistry, all the stuff that you can't really explain, and that's why it makes music so powerful and so great. And because in the end of the day, it's that interaction with people and how you affect people, and you get that back. I mean, like yesterday, Benicassim, probably a very different kind of show to what it would be today, but good in different ways. All the time it feels different, but generally always feels really good. Yeah.
Was it easier to record Weather Diaries than your previous albums because there was perhaps less pressure and you felt like you had nothing to lose, or was there more pressure and you were a bit worried about it?
We did quite a clever thing when we recorded Weather Diaries, in a sense. We started quite early with, before we even thought about we've got to record a record, we'd already kind of started to, as soon as we got together and started rehearsing, we kind of just started knocking jams and stuff around together. And and we kind of got a lot of ideas together, which... some lasted and then became songs, which were more properly formed kind of last year when we kind of went in. But there was a lot of preparation work involved. And with the benefit of hindsight, we could look back and say that the way we all kind of worked when we were making records like Going Blank Again was kind of the working way that we wanted to get back to, where it was much more of a sort of band feeling involved kind of way. And it worked. I mean, that's what I mean with life. We were lucky because we've got the benefit of hindsight. We've actually been able to action it and do something about it now. So I think, and I think every time we've done stuff, you always sort of feel pressure and expectation around it. But, that's okay. And I think we're all pretty confident and competent when we kind of get in the room together. And I think, I just think I trust that when we're feeling something's really good, that it affects other people. I mean, that's about as much as I know, And it's like, other than that, it's who knows. But I must say, I'm really happy with the record. I think it's just really great. Yeah.
How was it working with Errol in the studio?
Errol was brilliant. I mean, like us, he's just a total music freak and a real enthusiast. I thought it was really important to make it sort of a record that sounded like it was made now, 2017. We didn't want to repeat ourselves. There's always going to be elements that will make it sort of ride, but it wouldn't have been interesting to us to feel that we're just kind of going to repeat something that we did. And it's, it's very informed and fed, lyrically and musically, really, on what's going on now and around us. And I think for me, that's what creative endeavors need to do. Like, inspiration's all around you if you've kind of got your wires, open to it in that way. And it certainly felt like that. And I mean, Errol is a great guy. I really, really enjoyed it. I'm sure we'll do more with Errol, because I think we all felt it worked really well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point what you made, because although it does sound like a ride album, but it doesn't sound like a ride album from 1990, which is kind of unusual, because a lot of bands come back and they do just play a little bit more of the same. But you've really, I don't know if polish is the right words, but it really has been brought up to date.
Maybe it is. I think we're probably in some ways better musicians in a way. We're more like men now, whereas maybe we're a bit more like sort of mad boys back when we made those records. So it's a more sort of more consistency with it. I mean, what I've just described doesn't always make for better records. It can make for more boring records, I guess, but I think we've still kind of kept an edge to it. It's just, I think what really drives it is passion and enthusiasm. That's what really comes through. I think music's sort of really transparent, and I think because we all felt that, and because the chemistry with the band was great, and it was like making another debut record in a way, because of the time that's gone before it, and it just felt great. And and I think it just naturally just sounds it, because it just reflected how we were at that point.
I mean, it's been 27 years since your first releases. Do you ever sit back today and think, I can't believe I'm still doing this, and how lucky we are to be able to do it?
I do, when I've been on this bus for 40 hours. Like, what, I can't, what are we doing? You feel a bit deranged then. But, you do, because time just seems to fly. It's scary. I mean, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but, it does. But then in another way, the music doesn't sort of age in a way. It kind of keeps you sort of as young as the tune you played when you made it, in a way. When we play some of the old stuff, you still feel, you just go straight back to that mode. And you know, and it still works. It's good. It's kind of, I feel that, yeah, there's that sort of something timeless about that, which is, again, great. Yeah, and it's the nostalgia element that comes in for people, ourselves, as well as people listening to songs. But I think it's been great because I also feel that people are ready to come on a new journey as well with the new material. The response has been amazing on it. So that feels good too, yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of new music this year, including Weather Diaries, of course. How about yourself? Has there been anything that's caught your ear over the last 6 months or so?
Let's think. Recent records I bought the Bonobo Migration album, which I really love that. Sonoid Blues, I like that we played with them recently, and I like that album.
Yeah, great band, I love them.
Yeah, it's great. It's just sort of something just very real about that, and great. Great people too. What else have I been listening to? Can't think any more off the top of my head, but yeah, bits and pieces, I guess. I mean, there's always sort of music kind of floating around. Oh, I mean, for a gig experience, we played Glastonbury on Friday, and I actually got to see Radiohead, who were kind of, we knew from back in the day anyway, fellow Oxford sort of buddies and stuff, and I thought they were brilliant. I'd already bought their album as well. So I, you know, they keep it interesting for me, and I myself thought the Glastonbury set they did was fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. Now you've got more shows lined up after today. You've got a US tour and you've got a UK tour and you've got some odd dates as well. So, lots more gigging then what?
I'm just honest, I'm not looking a lot further than just these shows that we're playing, because I used to do that a lot. You know, that's the thing when you're younger, and that's part of the problem in a way. You kind of get a bit caught up with plans and what you know, schedules and all that. And plans never work out quite right with bands. That's sort of, and it means that you're not really enjoying the now so much. So I'm really just trying to, like, today I'm really happy to be in Latitude. I'm going to play that. As you say, we fly to Chicago tomorrow to do some US shows. It's going to be busy and good. We've got some shows later in the year, and I don't really look much beyond that at the moment. We'll see I guess there's always a chance of another album, but
another jam session while you're rehearsing or something.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's always going to happen when we get in rooms together and play. I mean, we always sort of say we're going to rehearse, but we always sort of just end up going off on tangents and some of those things from sound. I mean, like on this record, like Impermanence, for example, was us doing a sound check in Hawaii of all places, and it was a sort of tangent. We just started playing that music, which then we recorded there and then we were like, that's actually really good. And then we sort of turned it into the song. So lots of things start in that way, which is good. So yeah, I mean, it could well happen like that. Yeah, who knows?
It's great, Mark. Thanks very much for your time today. We're really looking forward to seeing you in a couple of hours. Hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, nice speaking to you.